Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
That's right. One, two, kicking out yet another brand new episode of the Kicking Out Podcast. It's Sunday night. It's May 31st, 2026. Hard to believe we are starting the sixth month of 2026 tomorrow. But hey, time flies when you're having fun. That's the old saying, at least. And we're always having fun over here on the Kicking Out Podcast. I'm your host, Tanner Lee. Don't worry, you won't be stuck with me for the whole entirety of the podcast tonight. Austin Shepherd, Shep, a.k.a. Main Event Shep, will be joining me momentarily. He might be closer to 9 o'clock, but he will be coming in hot, typical Shep fashion. No workhorse tonight, no Paul, even though Paul did show up for double or nothing predictions last week, but no Paul tonight. So you know what that means, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till Shep joins us because I may have a new tune to play in honor of the workhorse. We got Steffi in the house. She's watching the race. She says, yeah, I know a NASCAR race going on in Nashville tonight. Got Majin in the house. Yeah, so no lone Tanner show. Don't worry, Majin. Don't worry. And he says, the cheater retains. Man, I feel like we're back in the Hunter Reign of Doom here. That is right, Majin, my friend. I'm glad you brought it up. Because I am still your reigning defending KOP predictions champ. I had a perfect card, a double or nothing. Shep had a perfect card. Paul went 7-for-9. He missed on the Mina Shirakawa pick, and he also picked Okada to retain. So those were his two misses. We didn't have a tiebreaker. So you know what happens with no tiebreaker. Ties go to champion's advantage. And I know it sucks. I've been on the wrong side of that many times against Shep. But starting next month in our Forbidden Door predictions, I think we're going to come up with some sort of tiebreaker system. So I don't have to hear Shep or Paul whine all the time when they're tying with me and still losing. Majin said, speaking of songs, where's my song? Oh, it'll come one of these weeks. I promise you. I just had to make another good one for the workhorse this week. Majin said, double or nothing was too damn predictable. I had a perfect card, too. It was predictable. But I don't know about you all in the chat or everybody listening on the audio version of this podcast, which if you're not already, hit that like button, that subscribe button, that follow button on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Give us that 5-star rating and review. And follow us on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. And make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel so you know when we're going live each and every Sunday. And also when we're dropping some other awesome content on the channel. But back to what I was saying. I don't know about you all, but yes, double or nothing. Even though it was predictable, I thought... And I'm not just saying this because of recency bias, because it just happened last Sunday, a week ago. I thought it was a top three all-time AEW pay-per-view from start to finish. I thought every match ruled. I mean, if you made me rank matches from 9 to 1, I could do it, but it'd be tough. And I thought there were some good stories that wrapped up, some good continuation of stories. Some good beginning of other stories. Of course, the show ended with a big heel turn. The TNT champ, Kevin Knight, turning heel on Darby Allin. So I thought there was just... I just hadn't seen the IWC react that positively react that positive, let's just call it that, to an AEW show, especially a pay-per-view, in quite a long time. And that was nice to see. Mod said, oh, it being predictable didn't ruin my enjoyment of it. I absolutely loved it, especially when Kevin Knight turned at the end. And I know a lot of the stuff I'm going to talk about here until Shep joins, I'll probably rehash it with him and get his opinion too when he comes on. But we'd been talking for weeks. We thought Kevin Knight was going to turn heel. I know there was even discussion maybe Speedball would turn heel. But I thought one would turn against the other. I did not foresee Kevin Knight turning heel in the fashion he did and hitting the UFO on Darby Allin when he was on the stretcher. But I thought it was really well done. It had that shock value. You know, them doing that, closing the pay-per-view out that way, just shows you how much confidence the company has in Kevin Knight being a future huge star in the company. I mean, he already is a star. He's a TT champ, you know. But I think that was their way of pretty much saying, hey, you're the next guy. You're the next guy, you know, along with Ospreay, Swerve, Kyle Fletcher, who, you know me, I love my boy, the Protostar. Loved seeing him come back at Double or Nothing. That was a surprise I didn't have on my bingo card. I thought he was going to be out a lot longer because I thought he probably had surgery on his meniscus. But if you follow his YouTube channel, you know that wasn't the case. He didn't have to have surgery. That's why he was back after just 8 weeks on the shelf. But and I thought Kevin Knight had a good promo this past Wednesday at Dynamite. Opened up the show, thought he had a good heel promo, and then he officially turned, I guess, even though we knew he's already heel heading into Wednesday night, turned on his tag team partner, Speedball Mike Bailey. So no more Jet Speed. And we're going to get that match this upcoming Wednesday night on Dynamite, Speedball versus Kevin Knight, which I would be shocked if this is the only match we get between the guys. I think that's going to be on a future pay-per-view. Probably not Forbidden Door, but maybe Redemption, which was just announced since we last recorded. Redemption is at the end of July in Montreal. It was rumored for a while, but now glad to see it's official. So 12 or 10 out of the 12 months in 2026, we'll have AEW pay-per-views. I wonder if that number is going to stretch it all in 2027. I kind of hope it doesn't, because I think the build between World's End and Revolution is one of the best builds up to pay-per-view we get all year for AEW. Let's see here. Getting up on some comments here. Majin commenting how New York having those rules, some matches demanded blood. Yeah, you know, that didn't even register with me till after the show, and should have known as being a longtime pro wrestling fan and watching other shows in New York that New York does not like a lot of blood to be shown. I think the only blood, correct me if I'm mistaken, was Cope bled a little bit in the I Quit Street Fight match, which saw Cope and Cage finally win the tag team titles, and what a fun opener that was to the main event. Stevie said there was no stadium stampede. It was just a stampede match. Yep. Once again, the New York didn't allow them really to brawl around in the stands. A lot of backstage brawling went on. Mon said, wow, Tanner's sounding like Steffihausen a lot here. She can't even English or English, he says, even on the best days. Yeah. I got no excuse. Mon said he did tell Darby beforehand that he was their hope, though. It was the only way to do it. Yep. And looking back, it all made sense. Like when he initially cut that promo on Dynamite last week in Portland, Maine, the go home show for Double or Nothing, I was kind of puzzled by that promo. I'm like, that was just kind of weird. But now that we know, you know, the heel turn happened and everything, all makes a lot more sense. But no, Double Nothing was great. I thought we had a pretty solid Dynamite this week. You know, it wasn't the best Dynamite of the year per se. How do you guys feel about the 3-hour Dynamite / Collisions? I'm kind of over them. I'm ready just for the normal stretch of 2-hour Dynamites and just have the normal 2-hour Collisions, which they did have a normal 2-hour Collision as well last night, which there were some interesting things, but for the most part, it was a pretty pretty skippable show or missable show, if you will. Majin says, hey, Tanner, over or under on a number of months before we see a Christian Cage bang my mother sign, setting it at 5. Oh, it's going to be under. It's going to be under. It's got to be, right? If it was WWE back in the day, they would have came out with a shirt already. I don't think AEW is going to come out with a Christian Cage banged your mother shirt or anything. But, man, Christian's comedic gold. Comedic gold. Isaac's in the chat. What's going on, sir? Happy Sunday to you as well. Mod said, I'd prefer a 3-hour Dynamite and 2-hour Collision, to be honest. Okay. All right. That's fair. That's fair. I pretty much do kind of consider it a 3-hour Dynamite, even though they say the last hour is Collision. I mean, yeah. Isaac says he never watches the last hour. When it's a 3-hour show, the third hour is usually skippable. Yeah, pretty much is. I did enjoy the main event on Wednesday night, the lights out match between Sheeta and Statlander, with Statlander going over. Except my only complaint was pretty quick in a feud to do a lights out match, but it's neither here nor there. And I still thought in a 3-hour program, they could have had a lot more women featured than they did. I don't know why they hardly ever feature Tekla on Wednesday nights. She's featured almost every Saturday night in a Collision, but the whole women's division. I could just go on a rant. I could go on a rant. I do like what they announced with the TBS title last night. And I know I'm jumping all over everybody. I'm kind of waiting for Shep to join so I can get my flow going a little bit, but I do like what they announced with the TBS title. I thought maybe it was just going to be a gauntlet match or a battle royal or something. But they're bringing back a Ring of Honor stipulation. It's the tournament to determine new TBS champ. And that's going to be the first ever survival of the fittest match. So, and that champion will be crowned on July 1st episode of Dynamite. The rules are similar to ROH's Survival of the Fittest. It'll begin with a series of matches over the next month to determine who will qualify for the 6-woman match that will take place on July 1st, where a new champion will be crowned. So no names have been announced yet. So that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting. And since debuting the title on October 6th, 2021, the title has been held by 5 different women: Jade Cargill, Chris Statlander, Julia Hart, Willow Nightingale, and Mercedes Moné, who held the title for 584 days. And speaking of Mercedes, I do think she will be the wild card participant in the Owen Hart Cup. And I think she'll take on Alex Wenza this upcoming Wednesday night. Now, was she always planned to come into the tournament somehow? Maybe by somebody else getting injured via work injury, not shoot injury like Willow? I don't know. But if it's not her or Britt Baker, I don't know who else it would be. If it's not one of those two, I really think Athena's going to win the whole thing. But if it's Mercedes, then I think Mercedes is going to win the Owen, and that's her ticket to Wembley. But we'll see. I could be way wrong with this. I just have a gut feeling. I mean, I'm surprised they haven't brought her back already. I thought she'd return at Double or Nothing, and she hasn't. I thought she'd return at Dynasty back in April, and she didn't. So we'll see. And Majin commented, what they're doing with the TBS title could revitalize the title, saying, yeah, I hope it does, my friend. I hope it does. I mean, I hate Will having to vacate the title due to injury, but I think the worst thing they could have done for that title is when she had that title, they also put the women's tag team strap on her too. And you know how I feel about double champions in AEW. I just think it takes too much focus away from one title, and it really hurts it in the process. Majin said Sky Blue's going to win it. I did like her little wink at the camera last night that Tekla couldn't see. That was a nice little touch. I know, Majin, you're enjoying this run of no Mercedes. Don't make it in so soon. I know I'm getting hate in the comments, but I think the women's division needs her now more than ever. with Tony Storm not around, with Willow not around. Got a lot of depth. Just do not have a lot of star power there out front. So I think the sooner she can return, the better for the division. And I know that's not very likable or enjoyable comment for a lot of you. But what do you guys think of Mick Foley becoming All Elite? Saw him twice on Double or Nothing. I'm all for it. I don't know if I want to see Foley have one more match or not. You know, the guy is 60 years old. But if – and the reason I'm talking about Foley is his picture popped up over on my other monitor. But if he has to have one more match, I think MJF would be a good opponent. I know a couple of years ago, MJF really, really wanted to work with Foley if there was a chance. So that could be interesting. Let's talk about how we opened Dynamite this week, shall we? Shall we? It was arguably my favorite thing of the entire show. And Majin did say Foley should just stick to announcing. Him and Renee had chemistry. He's fantastic in that role. He's fantastic in that role. But Dynamite opening this week with a backstage segment where we saw Ospreay and Omega talking, and then eventually John Moxley entered the picture. I thought that was really good. And man, guys, I'll tell you, I've been confident all year long that MJF and Ospreay was going to be our main event at All In at Wembley come August. But man, it sure feels like this is the second time we've seen backstage interactions in like the training room or locker room with Ospreay and Omega. And it sure feels like they're planting some seeds there. In as much as I think a triple threat match would be amazing between MJF, Will Ospreay, and Kenny Omega, maybe I'm just being old fashioned here. At your biggest show of the year, I want the main event to be a one-on-one match. Even though you can argue one of WrestleMania's best main events ever was a triple threat match at WrestleMania 20 between He Who Shall Not Be Named, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels. But I like the idea of doing a one-on-one match. And part of me wants to say Omega Ospreay is the bigger ticket match than MJF and Ospreay. You know, we saw a bunch of MJF Ospreay matches in 2024. And it would be great if we got another one. Don't get me wrong. But Ospreay Omega, we've seen twice. One-on-one, you know, the first one was at Wrestle Kingdom in 23 when Kenny got the win over Will for the IWGP U.S. title. And then Will won it back off Kenny at Forbidden Door in a classic. So series is tied up 1-1, a rubber match at Wembley for the world title. Take my money. Take my money. Let's see. Steffi said, yes, he has joined the dark side and has wrestled for 6 different wrestling companies. Oh, talking about Foley? Okay. Well, I guess he hasn't wrestled for AEW, but he's been part of AEW, TNA, WWF/WWE, ECW, WCW, and I believe New Japan, if I'm not mistaken about Japan. That's my guess. Let me know if I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong. Majin said, notice Ospreay took that shot at Kenny for barely being there. I could see them revitalize their feud for this. Yeah, he did. And I like, you know, Kenny kind of made the excuse of, well, I just can't recover like I used to type thing. I just really liked it. You know, Kenny saying, really, the Death Riders? Like, I'm just a phone call away. I'll do anything for you, Will. And then Moxley coming in there. It was really good. It was really good. Amon said, rubber match at Wembley with Ospreay fulfilling his boyhood dream, winning at Wembley, that would even melt my cold heart. Yeah, I mean, I think, barring injury, I think the finish at All In is pretty predictable. Who's going to walk out of there as the world champ? But that still is not going to negate from the moment. All right. Steffi said, I'm correct with Mick Foley. All right. Cool. Yeah, either way, I mean, Ospreay MJF or Ospreay Omega, I'm not going to complain. But I'm starting to really like the idea of Ospreay Omega over Ospreay MJF. Isaac in the chat said he also made an appearance at NCG in Southern Ontario. Foley's everywhere, man. Foley is everywhere. And I don't think he makes appearances just for the payday either. I mean, he made the comment that AEW made him fall back in love with wrestling a couple of years ago, which, I mean, I can relate as a wrestling fan. I know I've shared this kind of my wrestling fandom testimony on here plenty of times, but, you know, I watched wrestling growing up, 98 and 99, and then due to my parents making me, I stopped watching pretty much late 99 and then picked it back up in 03, watched it till about 07, stopped, picked it back up when The Rock returned in 2011 and watched it ever since. But before AEW became a thing in 2019 and really before All In happened in 2018, I was becoming a pretty lackadaisical fan. I'd have Raw or SmackDown or even a pay-per-view at the time of WWE's on in the background, just kind of halfway pay attention. And I was thinking about walking away, and then AEW happened, and I'm a bigger pro wrestling fan now in 2026 than I've ever been. So I love this company. I love doing this podcast, talking about the company and the promotion I love, and getting to hang out with you guys. So yeah, in a way I can relate to what Foley said. It made me fall in love with pro wrestling all over again. Steffi said New Japan as Cactus Jack, WCW and ECW as well, WWE/F as Dude Love/Cactus Jack/Mankind, and TNA as Mick Foley. Mod said New Japan, then AEW made him fall in love with pro wrestling again. And they said, well, technically, one New Japan match did. Let everybody know in the comments, Majin, what that match was. I said, hey, Tanner, just curious why your parents made you stop watching. I had the same thing happen to me. And I'm not, you know, embarrassed to show my age here. So in 99, I was 7 years old. And they just happened to turn it on a couple different times on Raw, you know, the Attitude Era. And I watched both Raw and WCW. And actually, I was probably a bigger WCW fan at the time, even though looking back, 99 was bad. And WCW 2000, even though I didn't watch it live, I've watched it back, was just train wreck. You know, they just saw some of the language being used and the segments. I think there was a few diva segments they saw, and they just didn't think I was old enough to, or, you know, not mature enough to be watching something like that. So they made me stop watching All in general, even WCW, which even then as a kid I thought was more tame than the WWF. But I get it. Looking back now at the Attitude Era, if I was in their shoes, I probably would have made my 7-year-old stop watching too. So, and when I picked it back up in 03, it was a lot tamer in the Ruthless Aggression Era than it was in the Attitude Era. Even though Ruthless Aggression Era was way more aggressive than what was to come in the PG era. But that's a rabbit hole for another day. Martin said the Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega match. And he was curious, so he tuned into the Wrestle Kingdom. From that match on, started coming back, but AEW got him fully back. Isaac said, usually when my parents walked in, it happened to be a bra and panties match. Yeah. No doubt. Or I remember, you know, even when I wasn't watching wrestling, still like my friends who were, they'd bring over like their SmackDown PlayStation games. And it never failed, whether we were at my house or one of their houses. It would never fail. We'd be playing that game. And all night it could be different loading screen, but the moment a parent walked in or a grandparent, it was always a Trish Stratus loading screen, especially on SmackDown 2. And everybody knows what I'm talking about. If you know, you know. Maja said, I'm from Winnipeg, you idiot. So Jericho versus Omega was that, with that jackass Don Callis was huge for me. Yes. And Majin said Trish had the breast loading screens. See, Majin knows. Majin knows what I'm talking about. But and I've seen now like memes and stuff out there in regards to that, because it was so true. It was so true. Steffi said for her the 90s was the best time. I think a lot of wrestling fans would say the 90s was their peak fandom. You know, with not only WWF and WCW, but also ECW. And I know you were a big ECW fan, Steffi. So I get it. But all right, circling back to Dynamite again. Shep, like I said, hopefully should be joining me here soon. And then we can get into a little flow. And I can also do a few fun things I've had planned for the show to do, but waiting for him. Oh, speak of the devil. Speak of the devil. And I'm not talking MJF. Speak of the devil. Ship, you haven't missed much. The only thing of Dynamite I've covered was the opening. Other than that, I've just been reacting to comments and just talking.
So you've been going down rabbit holes.
Exactly. I mean, we've been talking about wrestling fandom and a bunch of different things.
I've taught you El Grasshopper.
You have. And then Majin called me a cheater for still having the title.
I mean, you were not the only one with the perfect card.
I gave you your flowers.
Yeah, well, those flowers have not been delivered, and they were not delivered by a 6-foot-tall blonde with fake boobs.
6 foot tall? You like them tall, huh?
Well, Mama Wayne's 6'1".
There you go.
That's a good point.
Yeah. That's a good point. But I did say, Shep, starting next month for Forbidden Door predictions, we're going to come up with some sort of tiebreaker.
Yeah, I think we're going to come up. Here's our first tiebreaker. And this might be a little bit more work on your end, but
thanks, asshole.
We're going to predict how many Sundays Paul has missed in the last 6 months.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I've been waiting to do a few things. Waiting for you.
Do you have a spreadsheet on that? Before I probably just threw myself under the gauntlet. Like
I don't.
Okay.
But here's one thing I wanted to do since, yes, Workhorse is not joining us.
Oh, boy.
New Overload, how do you like that logo up there?
Whoa. He gone. Oh, shit. I didn't even notice it until you just pointed it out. Oh, shit. Wow.
And I teased it earlier. Now it's time. Now it's time, everybody. Here we go. Why is it not playing?
Oh God. Another country song.
This is the best one yet.
Paul said he'd be there first. Coffee in his hand. Called himself the workhorse of this podcast band. But the chair stays empty, like a fence post in the rain. We keep one ear open, then we hear that same old thing. He's got a big old mouth and a little old clock. Runs his mouth on Mondays, then he vanishes by nightfall. Watch Worse, where you at? Where you at? Workhorse, where you at? Where you at? You talk a big game, but you skip the track. Workhorse, where you at? Where you at? Tanner and Shep came loaded with that prediction song. At AEW Double or Nothing, they read Paul right along. Took him down in the bracket, left him chewing on his pride while he sat. Workhorse, where you at? Workhorse, where
I gotta get you away from the country AI. I mean, seriously.
How do you beat the 90s country though?
I'm gonna call your boss and say, can we block Tanner's work computer from country AI?
You can block my work computer all you want. I don't use my work computer.
Okay, I'm just saying. I need a little help.
Majin has requested a rock one for him.
I also love the little banter between Steffi and Majin in the comments. Yeah. It's really good. Really,
you got to like Majin's comment here. I'm good at WWE predictions, guys.
Hey, when did you ever think on a podcast in the last 4 years, Tanner, that Majin and I would be on the same page, like making fun of people
every week?
It's like last like 3 or 4 weeks. It's kind of been weird.
Yeah, but. Well, you know how we roll. We got to give Paul some shit on here.
We do. We miss Paul. Paul's fun. We blow Paul a lot of shit.
And he likes it, everybody. Like, if he didn't, we wouldn't be doing that. So,
nah, we'd do it more.
That's probably true, actually. But
he's a good sport.
Shep, glad to have you with me tonight.
Thank you. A little late, but I'm here. Nope, I'm here.
All good, man. All good. And, I just didn't want everybody to have to hear me ramble for an hour by myself. So it's not enjoyable for anybody. But I've already gave my thoughts. What do you think of Double or Nothing?
Double or Nothing overall as a pay-per-view was one of my top rated ones. Yeah. You and I talked early in the week with Ope Three-Way. I think I gave
shout out to Pierce, by the way.
Yeah, I think I gave it like a 9.2 or 9.4, something like that.
Which is way high for you.
Which is, yeah, my scale's pretty rough. It was a tad bit long, okay? Your main event walked to the ring at 9:45, I believe. Again, I was okay. I'm up. I'm watching it. If I fall asleep, I'm watching it the next morning. It doesn't really bother me, but still – that's kind of rough. That was my only complaint about the main card. The overall card, we've already talked about it. Fuck them Costco guys. If it wasn't for the Costco guys, it would have been like 9.7. But overall, Double or Nothing, unbelievable pay-per-view. Love the main event with Darby and MJF. I think I said this earlier in the week, you want to bitch about AEW not doing long-term storytelling, then you had no business watching that main event if you believe that.
Yes.
You had no business watching that because that was 2.5 years in a making.
Double or Nothing gets 5 big booms from Majin.
Yeah. I'll give you 5 big... Never mind. Yeah. Good job, Majin. Way to go.
You said main event, and you're the main event, Shep. So speaking of main events, we are part of the Main Event Wrestling Network, everybody. Shout out to everybody over on the network, especially for the 24-hour marathon we put on last week. Everybody grinded, put great content out there. Screw you, YouTube, for not letting us have our whole 24-hour stream on YouTube. I guess YouTube only lets you have like 15-hour blocks or something like that. So, we'll remember that for next year. But go give them a follow at main event_net and all social media. And hit them up in the DM so you can become part of the Discord in which we talk AEW, WWE, TNA, AAA, independence, New Japan, sports, video games, you name it. We talk about it. It's a good time over there.
Yeah, and how you and I and Paul as rookies of the Main Event Wrestling Network got the 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon time slot. Whoa.
I'm not complaining.
We pulled that off like a bunch of veterans.
I'm not complaining. We were just fast to the trigger.
and we're already calling for next year. We're calling the same thing. We're calling next. We got 2 to 3 again. So
perfect. perfect. I believe everybody, the next there will be a half marathon. So I think it's a 12-hour marathon Labor Day weekend. I believe in the plans. So.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I believe according to the Discord. So look out for that come September. But, Shep, like I said, the only thing I hit on Dynamite so far was the intro, in which that was my favorite part of the whole show, the segment with Ospreay, Omega, and then Moxley.
How good is this Omega Moxley thing? I'm sorry, Ospreay Moxley thing. How good is this?
It's very good.
It's very good, very entertaining. Shows a different side of Moxley that we haven't seen in a while, because he was always the guy out for blood. And so good. I know Kenny kind of feeling like he got his feelings hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't come to me, man. You didn't come to me. You went to this guy. So yeah, love the storytelling there.
And like I mentioned, you know, I've been saying all year long, MJF, Ospreay, main event, Wembley, all in. I'm starting to warm up to the idea of Ospreay Omega, main event in Wembley.
So where does the belt get changed at, though?
Redemption in July.
Because it's a new pay-per-view and you want to give it a little bit of boost, so you're going to do a title change.
And it's in Montreal. Yeah. The only thing that I'm hesitant about, that's another short reign for MJF. But it's only short by a month if we think he's going to get dethroned at All In anyways.
Yeah, but if – let's look at MJF's schedule. He's there for a couple months, he's gone. He's there for a couple months, he's gone. Maybe that's what he's got worked out on his schedule, his contract. So you're going to hold the belt here for basically 2 months. Hey, I'll see you for a while and I'll come back. I mean,
And like I mentioned, this little segment, the start of the show, this was the second time we've kind of seen some seeds for Ospreay Omega. Because once again, Ospreay told Kenny, don't give up for going for that world title. And like I was also mentioning, they've wrestled twice singles competition. Wrestle Kingdom 2023, Omega went over Ospreay for the IWGP U.S. title. Then Ospreay got it back off him at Forbidden Door that year.
So they've never wrestled for a world championship.
No, and not wrestled one-on-one while both are full-time members of AEW.
Yeah.
Tony's been keeping that one in his back pocket.
So... do you do the lazy thing and make it a three-way with MJF?
I was talking about that too, and I said, even though that match would rule, I'm a traditionalist in which, like, in your biggest show of the year, I think your main event needs to be one-on-one, even though I would say one of the best main events in WrestleMania history was WrestleMania 20, and that was a triple threat.
It was a triple threat. They had a title change. I was going to say, if you're going to have a three-way and have a legitimate title change, you would want, you know, one v one, that way there's no question, there's no hoax. But
and like, even if you do a triple threat, I still think if you were going to take the title off MJF, he has to take the pin just to be meaningful. That, I mean, they did that back at 20 and Triple H tapped, he was the champ. Sean didn't get pinned or tapped. You know,
yeah, and you know, MJF has built himself as a big enough character. If he took a clean pin at that arena and that setting, yes, against Ospreay, I don't think it hurts him.
No. A few questions here in comments. Martin said, "Wish we would still learn why Ospreay is with the Death Riders." And he also said, I wonder what Shep thinks of the TBS title match they're planning. Did you see that last night on Collision, Shep?
I did not watch Collision last night.
Okay, so it was officially announced that they are bringing back an ROH stipulation for the TBS title, in which it's going to be a tournament. Let me bring it up here again. It's the first ever Survival of the Fittest match, which will take place on the July 1st episode of Dynamite. So they're going to have a series of matches to determine the six qualifying women to be in this match.
Okay.
Ring of Honor has done it a handful of times with men and women. So that's how they're going to do it.
I like it, and I'm guessing they're going to bring some outside talent to start this first round. So
I would think.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and like Ma just said earlier in the comments, hopefully this revitalizes the TBS title a little bit, rejuvenates it.
Yeah, we needed to get – I think it's got lost in the mix of late. Yeah. It was a pretty big deal early on. But then I think with all the men's belts, and we talk about this every week, we sound like a broken record, Tanner. Yeah. With all the men's belts, it just kind of gets lost in lost in the mix. So.
Yep. Yep. What have you thought about Kevin Knight turning heel, closing the pay-per-view with Kevin Knight turning heel, and then Kevin Knight opening the first actual in-ring segment, opening Dynamite with, in my opinion, a pretty good promo?
He's improving. Mm-hmm. I've been critical on his mic work. It's a start. I think eventually, if he keeps this up, I will hate him as a heel, which means he's doing his job. His in-ring work, spectacular. You know, let me see it every week. He keeps this heelish, arrogant, asshole-ishness on the mic, then we're going to go somewhere with it.
Yep. And basically, he said he turned on Darby because Darby let the fans down. He blew it, decided to no longer trust the pop process. And he said he was the last person to humble MJF and says he should have been the one challenging for the world title. So he said he's going to take over AEW.
Yeah, and here's the problem with that is eventually he'll get an eliminator match maybe, but it'll be awkward because you're going to have two heels. And I think MGF will go over on that one, and then Knight will be pushed to the side, and he'll be pushed to the side unless he decides to step up his mic work and talk his way back into some type of title seat.
I don't think they do that because I think the way they ended that pay-per-view with him turning heel, they're putting a rocket to this kid's back and then saying, hey, you are one of the next faces of this company.
So the next pay-per-view, he goes over Darby?
Oh, no. I'm not. I thought you meant him and MJF running back. I hope they don't run that match at Forbidden Door. I hope they either do that redemption or build a real good story and wait till All In. Give Darby a little break.
Darby needs a break.
Yeah. Speedball came out. Speedball did the good old classic thing of pro wrestling, wanting his buddy that just turned bad to apologize, which when has that ever worked in pro wrestling? Never. Asking a guy to apologize. And Kevin Knight laid Speedball out, and they're going to face each other on Dynamite this week.
Which is, you think that'll be the leadoff match or the main event?
Well,
it's going to be one or the other.
Yeah, it's either going to be that or Roosh MJF for the world title.
Oh, that's probably going to be your main event. So you're going to get Speedball and Knight to kick things off. Yeah.
I don't think this is a one and done match. I could see them running this back at a pay-per-view, either Forbidden Door or Redemption, because it's got a lot of story to it. I mean, they were partners.
I could see this going 15, 20 minutes and getting kind of a smosh finish.
Yeah.
So we continue the story.
Yep. A few comments here by Majin. So I know it wouldn't make sense as both are going for the world title, but imagine if Swerve reformed a Mogul Embassy and Kevin Knight was in it. Well, they showed on social media Kevin Knight walking past Swerve and looking at him and kept walking. And Swerve grinned, had a little grin, because you remember Swerve called Kevin Knight out a few months ago for not being a killer.
I think Kevin Knight would be better in the Hurt Syndicate.
Problem with the Syndicate, though, is they're kind of tweeners.
Well, they kind of turned face after this whole anarchy in the arena, so.
Yeah.
Or no, Stadium Stampede.
Yeah,
Anarchy
Stampede. Which I was bummed no music this year. Maybe they're just doing that in Anarchy in the Arena. I don't know.
I really thought they would start outside the arena and work their way in.
Yeah, they still did a lot of fun spots, and we know due to the state of New York, there couldn't be brawling in the crowd or blood, so that took a lot of things out of it. Mod said Kevin is one of the next pillars now since MJF has become part of the foundation. That's a good question. Who, if we're gonna do a four pillars right now, who are the next four pillars in AEW?
So you're saying MJF's out because he is the foundation.
I think Darby's he's gone away from a pillar. Sammy went the other way, and Jack's fine, but I don't consider him a pillar anymore either.
Ospreay.
Yep.
We're going Kevin Knight.
Yep.
Kyle Fletcher.
Absolutely.
This one's a tough one. There's a lot that could go here. This one's gonna go personal to my heart. But he's done enough. Mark Briscoe. He's done enough. Look at all the shit he's done. Look at all the matches he's put on.
I'm sick of him. Get him off my TV. I said it. Dumbest thing ever, him coming out and challenging MJF again the other night. Been there, done that. Don't run it back. If you run it back, do it at a Dynamite or Collision. That better not be a pay-per-view. That better not be a world title match on a pay-per-view.
Sick of the guy.
I'm sick of him.
Why?
Sick of him. Same old thing.
Tell me he's not entertaining.
He's entertaining, but why should he get a title match?
It doesn't matter. He's entertaining. We're entertained. We're sitting on our asses on a couch. We're entertained. That's what they're paid to do. They're paid to entertain us.
I liked when he took a little break when Ciampa put him on the shelf. And I thought he'd come back refreshed. Comes back, right back in with the conglomeration. Now he wants to challenge MJF. Give me something different. Give me something new.
You mean to tell me that match?
I mean, that pissed me off the other night. Out of everybody in the company, I didn't think his music would hit to come out and spoil MJF's party of becoming a three-time champ by the age of 30. Like, been there, done that multiple times. Give me somebody different.
First of all, who the fuck throws themselves a party for being the three-time champion? That means you lost it two times, you dumbass. Right?
It's MJF.
I'm just saying. Mark Briscoe.
I like Majors. Give me Takeshita all day, every day, and then once again over Mark Briscoe.
Hold on. Here, I figured this was coming. Here's my reasoning. Mark Briscoe can talk on the mic. Unfortunately, and I love him. I think he's an amazing professional wrestler. Takeshita cannot talk on the fucking mic. He can't get in the middle of the ring and cut a promo on Majin talking about how he sucks at maple syrup making, right? But Mark Briscoe could.
Yeah, but he's going to talk about freaking whatever animal he brought up the other day.
Hey, don't make fun of them farmers, man. You're living in the Midwest, Tanner. You're in farm country.
I know I am.
We might have some farmers that are listeners.
You know? Yeah, well. Hey, if any chicken farmers are listening, I'm not throwing strays at you.
Yeah. Next thing, because you when you wake up in the morning, your wife makes you a bacon, egg, and sandwich, you know, you're eating a chicken every
My wife making me breakfast. That's a good one.
Good thing she's not listening.
Yeah, I know she's not. I can hear the TV downstairs. I know she's not listening. Yeah, I don't want to get smacked. What'd you think of Ricochet Jericho? Everybody barred from ringside.
Loved it. Hey, you know, I know when Jericho left, we were like, look, we need away from Jericho. He needs to go sign his Legends deal with WWE and get in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, he put his time in AEW. He put him on the map, blah, 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 blah.
Yep. Nope. And I'll admit, I thought he needed to leave. I was wrong. Yep.
I was in the same boat you were. Oh, shut up, Majin.
He was saying Jericho's got to stay. Jericho's got to stay. So. But yeah, still shut up, Majin.
But since he's came back with the stadium stampede and then the singles match he had on Wednesday, like, he's still got a little left in the tank.
Yeah,
not much, but he's got a little left in the tank, and let's ride it out as AEW fans.
And he put over Ricochet the whole feud until, you know, I understand he pinned Ricochet the last two times down, hit the Lion's Claw. That was part of the story. So.
I mean, he paid for the trademark of what? Getting beat up by two.
I'm going to go look it up again.
Yeah. But I mean, he paid for the trademark as part of the story, which you got to love.
The guy who gets his ass beat by the demand every week that he shows up.
Yes. Yeah. Whatever it cost to file a trademark, he paid it. So that's awesome.
Yep. Yep, and he put over the Gates of Agony. Yep, so the whole demand. Yep.
Which, that takes a lot. You have to be talented to put it over the motherfuckers.
And you know, one thing I worried when we knew Jericho was coming back to AEW, signed a multi-year contract, it's like, okay, what do you do with him? I like this Ricochet feud, and I like this next feud we're going to get. Ciampa? Didn't see that coming, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, Ciampa came out of nowhere and beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, I don't care for the demand.
And then last night, Ciampa had his 1,004 reasons, his list.
That was
why funny. He's going after Jericho.
I didn't see that on social media. That was funny.
Yep. Yep. So, yep, the WCW callback with Jericho and Malenko. And Malenko working in AEW, perfect. Chef kiss. Chef's kiss. So, I don't know how long the feud. Well, knowing Jericho, it'll at least run through a pay-per-view, which we haven't seen Ciampa on a pay-per-view card yet in AEW. It's been on a lot of Dynamites and Collisions, and I know he's still new to the company, but we haven't seen him on a pay-per-view yet. So
I would like to see him here. Here we go into Forbidden Door. I would like to see him face somebody that we have not seen him face from another company, whether it's CMLL, New Japan, Throw him, because he's good enough where you just throw him against a random person and those guys could tear the house down.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm interested how much CMLL, New Japan, especially involvement we get. Seems like each year it's less and less with the show.
I know, which sucks, because I remember when they first announced this pay-per-view, I went nuts.
Well, AEW and WWE have taken most of their big men and women names the last few years.
Yeah.
Not all,
but there's still some dream matchups out there we can see.
I still think we get I'm an idiot. Ospreay's going to be in the Owen final at Forbidden Door. I was thinking that's where you can do him and New Japan's world title holder. His name is escaping me. Colin.
Yes.
The young kid that's part of his stable over there.
I would like to see in Forbidden Door, I would like to see a Kyle O'Reilly, Zack Sabre Jr. match.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
And we've seen some bangers of Sabre Jr. in Forbidden Doors in the past.
Even a Mox Sabre Jr. for the belt? That'd be a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a four-way match. This was for an amount of money. I don't remember how much. Leo Rush, Roosh, your boy Brian Cage and Orange Cassidy. What do you think of this Lio Rush gimmick? I know you've been hard on Lio Rush in the past on this podcast. What do you think of this gimmick?
Well, I've been hard on him because he's a dumbass. He decides like every day he wakes up and says, I'm taking my ball and going home. And then he shows up in GCW in the middle of nowhere in a crowd of 300 people and leaves WWE for it. And now he's been all over. Now he went away. Now he's coming back with this psycho gimmick. I don't know how you would
like,
say
I think,
it.
I think it's a Blackheart gimmick, they're calling it. Like Blackheart.
It fucking sucks.
Majin said the exact same thing in the comments. But I will say it's not for me. It's not for me, but I will say it's getting him more talked about more than he was. And I think Sean Ross Sapa Fifel is the one I heard say this. His bookings on the independents have skyrocketed since he introduced this gimmick. He was getting none, really, and now he's getting them every week. So
okay,
good on then him.
Yeah. Let him stay on ROH pre-cards and indies.
Yeah,
and I'm okay with that.
I liked his appearance in Stadium Stampede though with Lashley, given their history.
You think that was probably a one-off though, right?
Yeah. I think so, but I like how Tony's such a fan and appreciates the history of professional wrestling. He does things like that. I thought that was a good touch.
Okay. I'll give you credit. Fair enough on that. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Roosh did win this match, by the way. And then MJF encountered Kevin Knight backstage. And this is where Kevin Knight kind of went away from being a heel a little bit. Even though Max was saying Knight has a bright future and looked to walk away, but Kevin Knight stopped and made it clear he didn't attack Darby Allin for MJF, but rather because he thought he should have been challenging MJF. And then he encounters Kyle Fletcher, which makes Don Callis all happy because Don Callis pretty much told Kevin Knight, hey, if you want to become a double champ, you know where to go. And Kyle Fletcher doesn't really say anything, but he stares at that TNT title and walks away because Kyle Fletcher never lost that TNT title. He had a vacant it, but yeah. I don't want to see him go after it. I think Kyle Fletcher's above that. I want to see him go after Takeshita for the international because I feel like there's steps to this to become like you got your TNT title. Then I think the international title is a little bit above that. And then your world title. I'm not even counting the continental title. That's whatever. That's Moxley's thing right now. So I want to see him like become an international champion next and then world champ.
I agree.
I don't want him to come back to TNT again.
No, I think your TNT title is equivalent to what we used to call the television title back in the day.
Sure.
You know, it was represented and defended during television, not necessarily a pay-per-view, PLE, or whatever the hell we call it nowadays. So he's graduated from that. So, yeah, to go after the Intercontinental, what's it
international.
Called?
International.
Yeah, that's one step below your world title. And plus with the history of Takeshita and the Don Callis family, now Fletcher with the Don Callis, yeah, it only makes sense for him to work for that title. Does he necessarily need that title? No. But if he works his ass off and puts on bangers, it can almost elevate him to the main event.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned earlier, Mark Briscoe came out to challenge MJF. This popped me, not just because MJF was saying no, but how he did it. No. He just that popped me. I love when he does stuff like that. Like, just simple no, but then he gave it to Roosh because he said Roosh actually earned it. And he was taking shots at Mark Briscoe. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it was a good segment. I still think, though, I'm telling you, it in and out. It's hard to beat Mark Briscoe, man. I know you don't like seeing him, but it's hard to beat him. And whether you want to put him in a wrestling match, or a hardcore match, or a cage match, I quit match, a insert your city street fight match. I don't know if there's a guy that you wouldn't think, like, if I'm booking, if I'm Tony Khan and I have all different eight stipulation of matches, if there's one guy that could fit in all eight, man, there's not a lot of guys that can do that. I know it pissed you off.
He put on a banger with Ciampa, but I don't want the guy in the world title mix. That's where I'm drawing the line.
Why not? Because of his looks?
No, because he's had a chance. There's so many other guys going for it that haven't had the chance.
Well, he's held world title before, just not in AEW, held in ROH.
Under the AEW umbrella.
Okay. Still a world title.
Okay, give him the RH title again. Bandito doesn't ever get to defend it, so yeah, put him down there. I'm fine with that.
I think
put
him behind a paywall. I think Bandito lost it.
No, he didn't.
No.
He beat Blake Christian.
No. You didn't. I think he lost the belt. Like, he lost it, like Jericho style.
Yeah, left at Longhorn Steakhouse.
Yes. Like we see Bandito all the time, but he didn't have the fucking belt.
Well, you and Majin could just go be best friends, because he said if he's a promoter, honestly, Briscoe's one of the first 5 to 10 guys he signs.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, I know Mr. Denver Broncos and Denver Avalanche and your Boston Yankees and all your fandom you have over there. I mean, it's okay. You can get a little grace. Get a little grace.
Hey, I'm a Mark Briscoe fan. That's all right.
Did you not like him before? Before AEW started, I know you followed wrestling before AEW.
Yeah.
So you knew who the Briscoes were.
Right.
Okay. Obviously, they brought the Briscoes in. FTR did their series of matches with them. What'd you think then?
I liked the Briscoes, and I've talked good about Mark Briscoe in the past. It's just something broke in me this Wednesday night to, like, I'm tired of this guy getting chances for the world title and main eventing. I just think there's other talent that deserve it more.
Are you saying that because he's missing a couple teeth?
No. No. I'm not discriminating over his looks.
Okay. Wow, you're really.
I think we're gonna get it. I mean, I don't know why else they would have done that if we're not gonna get a match. I'm just, if that's our Forbidden Door world title match, it might be my bathroom break. No, it won't, because MJF's amazing. So I can't go bathroom MJF match.
Hey, Mark Briscoe can wrestle.
He can, but hey, so can Mercedes, and everybody craps on you and me for saying good things about Mercedes.
That's true.
I already got crapped on. And I talked about Mercedes earlier when you weren't here.
Well, that's because Paul's got a robot in the comments.
Yeah, named Steffi and Majin.
Oh. Wow.
What'd you think of Brody King and Claudio in the quarterfinals of the Owen Hart Cup?
I love that I picked the winner. I picked the winner on Ope Three-Way. I said it needs to be Brody King. It needs to be Brody King. He needs a win. He needs a dub, and he got it.
Yep, so now Brody's got to face Swerve. Winner of that is in the finals at Forbidden Door, which those guys have history. That'll be a fun one. And, you know, earlier in the show, I mentioned how the opening of Dynamite was my favorite thing. I'm going to retract that. My favorite thing was with what Adam Copeland did during he and Christian's attempt to do a 5-second pose. And that was having a bag of disposable cameras. Awesome.
Where did he find those?
He said he bought them 20 years ago for a moment like this.
Because you literally can't go into a Walgreens, CVS.
I think you still can.
Can you?
I don't know, though. I can't say I've tried.
I mean, I've been in a what are those pharmacies? Is that what they call them now? Pharmacy stores.
Yes.
I was in there the other day, but you're gonna laugh at me. I bought club soda and fucking vodka, because it was cheaper than the liquor store. I couldn't tell you the last time I looked to see if they sold disposable cameras. I mean, I buy snacks. I buy, you know, peanuts and bar mix and all that shit there. And, you know, I get my prescriptions filled, you know, Vicodin and opioids and all that shit there. As being sarcastic, I thought I'd pop you on that.
I know you were. Yeah. I know you were. There's a little lag on my end. That's my fault.
Okay. Walmart, you can still get them there, huh? I'm more of a Blue Chew guy, Majin.
I'm not touching that comment. Oh, Jesus.
No. I mean, if you listen, if you listen to any wrestling podcast in the last 6 months, like, hold on. I know you listen to us and we appreciate it. But if you, I remember when FTR, when Dax did his, any of the Conrad Thompson ones, they're all sponsored by Blue Chew. So,
yeah, I mean, Fivefold, yep.
Fivefold sponsor. I mean, if I'm going to get one, fuck Viagra, I'm going with the Blue Chew. I got to support the boys. Literally, support the boys.
Yep. But Cope had these disposable cameras, going back to disposable cameras. That's one thing I miss with the evolution of technology and cell phones is flash bulbs at wrestling events, at sporting events, like old highlights when you'd see all the flashing, like at the kickoff to start the Super Bowl or at like WrestleMania. I do miss that.
You're showing your age, Tanner.
That's okay. I'm not the oldest one here on the podcast, so.
I know Majin's old as shit.
Yeah, he is. But we didn't get a five-second pose as the dogs, David Finley and Clark Connors, interrupted it and took them out.
I'm excited for this feud. When did you ever think you would get these guys versus Cage and Cope? And now we are. And it's guys that were, you know, when Cage and Cope were in WWE, you know, Fit Finley was a trainer. So I'm sure Fit Finley has worked with him. And David Finley has been very outspoken and talked down about that company. And so I love the little connection there. And I'm excited to see these guys face off.
Yeah, I think it's a good feud for Forbidden Door. You know, you got to do some other stuff before we get to All In, which, you know, there's rumors flying around that it's going to be Cage and Cope, the Bucks, and FTR, and a TLC at All In. And you could have some other tag teams that could be in the company by then, too, that aren't right now in the mix at either All In or at All Out. But I did like what you brought up there about Fit Finley, because I read on the internet, he and Edge had a little segment or a program years ago in which Edge was at the same age right now as David Finley is, and Fit was at the same age then as to what Cope is now. Same exact.
Okay. It's some weird math, but it could work. Yeah. It's kind of a cool thing.
Yep. And then we saw last night the Dogs beat the Guns in a really fun match. It was probably my favorite match on Collision. The Dogs beat them via not clean, but you know, there was a shillelagh shot that the ref didn't see. They before the match they were trying to do their own 5 second pose. Then the Guns interrupted it with their entrance. So, and I've said this before, man, the Guns, they're two of my favorite wrestlers to watch right now in ring. Both those guys are so athletic and can go.
Well, here's what they have. Yes, they're athletic and they can wrestle, but they have charisma. Both them boys have charisma. They get it honestly from their father, and they're very entertaining.
Yeah, Maj is a young pup compared to you.
Wait a minute. He's 36?
That's what he said.
Yeah, I'm 32.
Mm-hmm. Plus some.
I'm 32. I tell you what, I'll take any 32-year-old out there right now and want to party for 12 hours straight. Let's go. I'll show you I'm 32.
You stand probably a pretty good chance. Yeah. Ty J, we saw them squash Ally Catch and Ava Everett on Which Dynamite.
Hurt my heart. I love Ally Catch. During WrestleMania week, Ally Catch lost to Loser Lee's GCW, which was kind of a thing. But it goes back to Royal Rumble when it was her and Effie for the world title, and she broke her leg early in the match. And here we go a year and a half later. Is it a year and a half later? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a year and a half later. Royal Rumble was not in Indianapolis this past year. No, a year and a half later.
No, last year. No.
Yeah. Yeah, a year and a half later, she leaves GCW, and all of a sudden she does a fucking two-minute job on AEW. Kind of hurts my heart a little bit. Now, I hope this is just the beginning, and she's getting her foot in the door, and maybe we see her on ROH, work her way up, but you talk about a person, a female on the independent scenes with a shit ton of potential, and it's Ally Catch.
And I brought up Ty J because they survived the Divine Dominion's 5-minute challenge last night, the first team to do so. So now they're going to get a title shot, which I think is good. These two ladies need formidable competitors before their ultimate down the road matchup with the Brawling Birds.
I agree. I think it was Majin that said it earlier. How about Megan Vane versus Beth Copeland down the road? That could be good.
Who down the road? I'm sorry. I cut out a little bit.
Oh, I said, I think Majin said earlier in the night, Megan Vane versus Beth Copeland.
He said that'd be a fun Forbidden Door match.
Yeah. Yeah. I all aboard. Take my money.
We saw Mark Davis, Dunkzilla, defeat Jungle Jack Perry to advance in the Owen Hart Cup, in which now he will face his former buddy, Will Ospreay.
I saw that one coming. I think it was a no-brainer. As much as I like the rebirth of Jack Perry, I don't think this was the right spot for him or put him in the right position. So Mark Davis versus Ospreay, United Empire, together, this was the right thing.
Yep.
And, pretty sure Mark Davis really, really hurt his neck the last time out. So now it's time for a little revenge.
And even though we say there's too many titles, he is the national champ. He should go over a guy like Jack Perry right now, I guess.
Yes.
Yes, and Jake Doyle, Mark Davis' partner, has returned. He made his return on Dynamite. I thought he was going to be out a lot longer. Good to see Doyle back. He and Mark Davis were having some getting some momentum before he was injured. But since Davis is having a nice singles run, Doyle is now going to be teaming with Brian Cage.
He'll get hurt again.
Which one?
Doyle. Karma. Why would you team with Brian Cage? Why?
They're in the same stable.
Why? Next, let's talk about something else.
Will Ospreay, John Moxley, and Pac went over the Rascals in a fun tag match. I hate seeing the Rascals take another L, though.
I agree with you, but...
But they can't beat these guys. They can't beat...
They got so much shit in this match. When I say they got... Let me rephrase it.
Yeah.
They got so much shit in. Like, they looked very good in this match. Yes, they didn't get the win, yeah, but I don't know if it necessarily hurt them because they got all their spots in.
Yep. Yeah, Myron Reed impressed me more and more every time I watch him.
They're good. Mm-hmm. They're good.
Another match that was awesome. And we've given this guy his flowers a lot lately on KOP. Ace Austin versus Andrade El Idolo.
Yes. Give me that Ace Austin full time.
Yeah. He's getting a lot of TV time lately because he can put on good matches.
Yes. Yes. He's good. And I tell you right now, Andrade is so close to the main event card.
Yeah, and he said on Dynamite, now that Stadium Stampede's behind him, he wants to come after Max. How you know?
I like what he's doing right now. He's very entertaining.
Yeah. That could be a Forbidden Door title match I can get behind. Instead of Mark Briscoe.
Yeah, three-way.
You and your three-way matches.
And I'm the one that always said it was lazy booking.
Johnny had one of Majin's favorite moments, Stadium Stampede. When he backed up with the Satnam, because that was pretty. I was hoping he'd turn around the Satnam and go, how you know? I talked about this match a little bit earlier before you were on. I was just saying how I did like it. The main event, Chris Statlander, Akira Shida, lights out street fight in which Statlander went over. Good match. I like that the women main evented because the women did not get a lot of time on a 3-hour show, and our women's world champ was nowhere to be found, even though she was on Collision last night. But this was quick for a lights out match for a feud. Usually the feud's a lot longer, and then this is the last fork in the road, if you will.
Yeah, it was quick, but I think it served its purpose. I think the ladies did a good job, and it was okay. I mean, I'm not going to write home about it, but it did its job. Yeah. It was okay.
Oh, and Majin says, Satnam, yes, but also when he went to take the picture with the women, Luchasaurus came up with a wig.
That's one ugly dinosaur.
Yes.
That was one ugly dinosaur.
And Majin also, Tony Khan, I'm asking you again, since you're bringing people in for Andrade to flirt with, can you bring in Angela White for him to do that with? That's adult film star, if not everybody's familiar with who that is. Go Google it.
I should. Well, is my phone gonna go like? Hold on, Angela White. Let's just
Google. Oh boy. Oh my god.
Oh, Angela White's. Oh.
I've seen her. Okay, I know who that is.
Oh yeah, she's 41 years old. She's younger than Shep.
Sean Martin, good to see you in the comments here, my friend. Tekla supposedly had food poisoning at the pay per view. Really? Okay. Did not hear about that. And she had a good performance in the four-way match. But, okay, maybe she was still recovering from that on Wednesday night. Hope so, because I hate when she's not on an episode, even if it's just a promo or a backstage segment or whatever. I think the women's champ needs to be represented.
Well, if she had food poisoning, she probably ate food in Canada.
Got her sick. Even the show was in New York, but that's all right. Maybe she went over to cross state line there.
Holy shit. I'm reading this bio on Angela White. This girl's wild.
Thanks, Majin, for this rabbit hole.
No, I'm just saying, hold on. I'm gonna read this. This is you know, Google AI shit, right?
Oh boy.
Angela White, she has transitioned into a new lifestyle focused on faith, sobriety, and motherhood. She's also pursuing a traditional acting Instagram career and coaching Instagram Academy. Just wild. Okay. Yeah, she did a 180. Okay. All right. Good for Angela White. Let's go. She's cute. That's all I can say. She's not better looking than Mama Wayne. I'm telling you right now. Tanner, you got the AI shit. Give me a side by side of Mama Wayne and Angela White, and we'll put up a vote.
Who's better? No, no.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Yes, I'm too lazy to do that. Oh,
okay. At least you're honest.
But Man, no, I'm not going to play that right now. No, I'm not going to do that. Collision. What do I want to call on Collision? The conglomeration defended their Trios Championship against the Don Callis family. Lance Archer, Rocky Romero, Trent, Beretta. Conglomeration won, of course. It was fine. It's exactly what you expect. Heard from Ciampa. Mentioned that earlier. 1,004 reasons on the list. We saw Hazuki versus Maya World. Hazuki's going to be in the Owen Hart Cup tournament coming up soon. This match went a lot longer than I thought it was going to. But she'll be facing Persephone coming up soon, which was nice to see her back. And she was sitting at ringside during this match. Tony Schiavone had a really good tribute to Loverboy Dennis Condrey.
Yes, that was good. I did see that.
Since he passed away a few months ago. Yep. It's really good. Lee Moriarty beat some guy named Tim Bosby, which was fine. John Moxley got on commentary after his match. He and Pac beat the Infantry. And then he was on commentary for the Dogs versus the Guns, which I said was my match of the night. I think Moxley does a great job on commentary. He really does. Jake Doyle and Brian Cage beat Jimmy Wild and Tommy Mars. And the main event was a pretty good match. Takeshita defended his international championship against Daniel Garcia. After the match, all hell broke loose. And the Don Callis family got in the ring. Moxley got pissed off, so the Death Riders got in the ring to fight them off. The conglomeration came down to help Takeshita because I guess all of a sudden he's in their group. And Nigel McGuinness got involved. And then Speedball came down. There was just tons of people. At the end of the show, conglomeration and Speedball stood on the ring opposite of the Death Riders. And there was and then the heel faction stared up at the baby faces from the ramp, even though the Death Riders are more tweeners than baby faces. So, yeah.
Throw it all in the pot and see what happens kind of finish.
Yeah, there was a lot of, yeah. I mean, some guys interacting with other guys that don't normally do so. So I liked how the Don Callis family just pissed Moxley off. So he threw his headset off and said, screw it, even though he doesn't really like the conglomeration either, but he hates the Don Callis family more type of thing.
Yeah, we all do.
So, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, pretty solid Dynamite and a fine Collision. At least it was a live edition of Collision last night. So let's see what we got cooking up on Dynamite this week. Hard to believe, Shep. Like I said earlier, it's June tomorrow. Hard to believe that.
It is June. Holy shit.
Yeah. let's see. It's in Richmond, Virginia. We got the wild card against Alex Windsor, which I still think is going to be Mercedes. It's the wild card.
I do too.
Even though somebody brought up a good point. Whoever it is probably wasn't originally supposed to be in the Owen. Unless they were going to do some injury angle with somebody else. But because of Willow's injury, somebody's got to be slotted in there. If it's not Mercedes, I think Athena's winning this whole thing.
Yeah, if they put somebody from ROH or CMLL or New Japan or whatever, Athena is your favorite. 100% your favorite, but it's got to be Mercedes. It makes no sense if it's not Mercedes. So,
yeah, for me, it's either Mercedes or a returning Britt Baker.
Now, hold on. Don't you think Britt Baker, if she's going to make her return, should get a little bit bigger stage than a random Dynamite?
Probably.
I mean, I get it. Go ahead. You're a little behind.
Go ahead, Shep. I'm lagging. No. I'm lagging. Go ahead.
I know it's the Owen Hart Cup, but it's still a every Wednesday Dynamite. I think
if you're going to bring back Britt Baker, it needs to be a pay-per-view, and she needs to make a surprise return and get her flowers, get her pop. Not saying she wouldn't get a pop on a random Dynamite, but it's just a random Dynamite. And I say this because we are spoiled sickos. We get almost pay-per-view quality Dynamites here in the last 3 or 4 months, like shit that we would pay for, but we're getting it free on TBS. So I'm not saying it downplays this stuff we get every week on Dynamite because we love it. I just think that it should be on a bigger stage that she makes a return when she does, if and when she makes a return.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I see somebody over here on this preview. I'm looking at a Dynamite. They think Chris Statlander is going to be the wild card. Yeah.
I can see that, especially being a random Dynamite.
The other things on Dynamite, we got Mark Davis versus Will Ospreay in the semifinals of the Owen. Kevin Knight versus Speedball for the TNT title. MJF versus Rouge for the world title. That's what we got.
I mean, come on. What? That's better than anything Connecticut's producing right now on a weekly free television show.
Well, you didn't like Clash today?
I saw a little bit. I didn't get to watch it. I've been birthday partying it all day long.
It was very predictable.
Yeah, it was. Tanner, when you grew up, I don't know if you remember.
I'm not growing up yet, Shep, but okay, go ahead.
But when you were a kid and your parents threw you a birthday party, okay?
Yep.
When the birthday party was over, it was over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found out today that's not the fucking case. I had a birthday party with roughly 50 people that I started cooking for. I cooked this food on Saturday and then took the kid fishing on Saturday afternoon. Took him to a fireworks show Saturday night with all of his friends. Got up today, finished cooking, had the party, cleaned up, was literally relaxing in my chair, and the wife said, hey, we have another group coming over at 7 o'clock. Like, what do you mean we have another group? Well, these are the people that couldn't come at noon today. Like, you got to be shitting me. This kid had 2.5 fucking birthday parties.
Good for him.
I mean, good for him. But, I mean, I'm telling you right now, if this podcast wouldn't happen, my happy ass would already be snoring logs.
Yeah, we and KOP, me and I think the rest of the KOP viewers and listeners appreciate your presence tonight.
I mean, holy shit, 2.5 birthday parties in 48 hours? What are we doing here, man? You know what? I wish I'd party hard. You know, it was actually more physical labor margin than actual partying. And if you look at my physique, I'm not built for physical labor.
I've got one more comment here I want to hit on before we close things up. Sean Martin says, as the ROH watcher here, Tony did all 6 of the qualifying matches for the Survival of the Fittest match on the same episode of ROH, he's saying. Why can't Tony do the same on Warner Brothers Discovery TV for the TBS title? Great question. I think that'd be a fun episode. Do all the qualifying matches.
It'd take up the whole episode.
Yeah.
You could do that. You would have to. Because
Tony doesn't put enough concentration on the women's division.
Well, you would have to do certain backstage vignettes to continue other stories.
Yeah.
So it can be done. Just has to be done strategically.
Oh, Majid. He said it'd be more of a carry job if you weren't here, Shep, but I'm used to carrying this show as is. I can carry a single Tanner show.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, he's definitely going to get a song coming his way here in the next week or two.
I hope. Hey, Majin, I hope when you leave your computer screen or your iPad or whatever the hell you're watching on and you walk into the kitchen, I hope the freaking frame's big enough your head doesn't fucking hit each
other. No kidding. My God.
But, hey, he probably has enough maple syrup in his hair. It lubes him right through.
Yep. Well, Shep, it's been fun. Anything else you want to cover tonight? We've discussed a lot.
It was a great double or nothing, great dynamite. Had a fun on the 24-hour podcast with Main Event Wrestling Network. We did our prediction show. It was also fun. Ope Three-Way had you and I on earlier this week, which was a new experience for me. I know you've been on with them, those guys, before.
Yep, no freaking workhorse. Yeah. No workhorse there.
But it's been a fun, 7 days and or 8 days, and we're gonna keep it going. So, oh boy, here we go. You're gonna play it again, aren't you?
I'm just letting it go while we're closing the show here.
Oh, okay. Anyways, thanks for listening. I can't even close this with a straight face. Follow me on all social medias except Facebook. I have X and Instagram at the Shep 27. Buy our merch. My merch finally is here, Tanner.
Yeah!
It shipped. I should have it. It actually should be in the mailbox today. I have not looked in the mailbox today. Should be there, but I have Main Event Shep shirts in the mailbox. Buy our merch. Look cool like us. And then fucking workhorse.
I do want to give a shout out to everybody. We hit 500 subscribers on our YouTube channel. I know that's not a big number to some, but the fact that 500 of you care what us three jackalopes say every week, that means a lot. So let's get to 1,000 by the end of the year, everybody. Let's do it.
Hey, big goal, let's do it. If we get to 1,000, I will shave Paul's head.
You heard it here first. So you can follow me at TannerLee92. You can follow Workhorse at Paul's Armin 87. And like I said, subscribe, like, follow at Kicking Out Pod all over social media. And make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And give us that 5-star rating interview. That's an easy way to support our podcast without spending any of your hard-earned money. And we appreciate it. We appreciate you guys listening, viewing every week. Means a lot to us. So, and Majin, we appreciate you flying the KOP flag, my friend. And maybe next Sunday we'll get a workhorse appearance. Probably not. But let's just let the song take us out. So next week when we kick out yet another podcast, have a good one, everybody. This is why I say, good.